Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Super Bowl 60 is in the books. The Seattle Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and the streets of Seattle continue to go crazy. It got lit last night in Seattle. The parade is now set for Wednesday as the Seahawks did something the Seattle Mariners were unable to do, finish the deal. The Seattle Mariners, of course, never been to the World Series before. Heartbreaking loss to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'll tell you what, coming into the year, nobody expected the Seattle Seahawks to win the Super Bowl, even the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I should say that, I don't know, Mike McDonald's a pretty confident dude, and you know that he believed in himself and this football team, but from bringing in Sam Darnold and trading DK Metcalf away and putting a new stamp on this football team. Like I said, I was at the Seahawks game last year against the Buffalo Bills. There was a lot of negativity in the stands. And even I was like, you guys like aren't a bad football team. I don't know what you're so upset about. And they were mad. Like people were selling their tickets and like just – they didn't like this. They weren't sure about McDonald. They didn't, you know, Geno Smith. And just everything was sort of negative. They were losing that 12th man. They weren't good at home. That's the whole thing. It's like, wow. If you think about it, like the Seahawks had lost their home field advantage for a couple of years. And I'm telling you, I saw it in camp early this year that there was just something different about this team. Like this the young players and the new dudes that they brought in and Sam Darnold, just that everybody was on the same page of let's tune out the outside noise, work as hard as we can, and just worry about ourselves. Don't worry about other teams. Don't worry that everybody says the Rams are better than us. Don't worry that everybody says the Niners are better than us. Just let's go out there and handle our business. Only worry about the Seattle Seahawks. As I saw it, I'm in the market. I heard Sam Darnold say this all year. We only care what people inside this room say about us. We don't care about what outsiders say. And Sam Darnold's been going through the questions every week. So how does it feel that you used to be a big loser and now you're successful in different ways? And he always said the same thing. I've always only cared about what my teammates think about me. And in the end, his teammates think, you know what? We're glad that Sam Darnold's on the football team. He just helped us win the Super Bowl. And the Minnesota Vikings had a general manager that just got fired that was part of letting Sam Darnold go, although that's not why he fully got fired. There was a lot of drama and stuff going on there, and O'Connell didn't want Darnold back, and Tom Brady didn't want Darnold with the Las Vegas Raiders. But we should we'll wrap it up by saying this, that let's be real, the defense was, you know, they have a new legend. Now the dark side, right? The Legion of Boom. Yeah, the Legion of Boom won one Super Bowl. Now the dark side's won one Super Bowl. And that was as dominant of a performance in a Super Bowl defensively as like since it was. I mean, there were some points late and stuff, but man, that was just as dominant as it gets. Remind me of the Bears and Patriots, actually, in the 80s. And it's all said and done, Cam. The Seattle Seahawks are Super Bowl champions.
Loving it, Morenci. And you said it. Defense is the key word. And I remember just watching the Denver Super Bowl again and absolutely kicked the crap out of Peyton Manning in that game. Wes Welker did nothing. He was huge. That Denver offense was awesome with Demaryius Thomas and the gang and the rest of them. And I'll tell you, yeah, you talk about the dark side. Look how good these guys are. Witherspoon, Emmanuel. And the crazy thing is, even some guys like Riley Mills, who was hurt and drafted fifth round draft pick out of Notre Dame, he had a sack. Like they just did really, really well drafting and making moves. McDonald's and his staff, they did a great job. And everyone's like, oh, Drake. I love these guys online too, Gabe. Oh, Drake May was hurt or whatever. Yeah, you got sacked seven times. You got pressured the whole game. Like give the Seahawks defense a little bit of credit for what they did. Wanted more points early. Got started to think, well, are we going to have like a kicker as an MVP here if he kicked a deep one? But man, it was awesome. And that when Barner had that touchdown, I lost my mind.
In hindsight, you know, it's one of those, yeah, it kind of went the way that we thought it was going to go. But the Patriots had defied logic quite a bit this year. But, Mo, I brought it up a lot. The Patriots offense had come into the Super Bowl scoring the least amount of points since the for a team that played three games since 1979 in Vince Ferragamo and the LA Rams. Drake May had been sacked 15 times coming into the Super Bowl in the playoffs, five times in each game. Literally and figuratively, five times in each game. And now he got sacked seven times, like 22 times. If you can't score and you can't protect your quarterback, it doesn't really matter how good your defense is. Like, your defense can't win by itself. And the Patriots' offensive line, specifically Will Campbell, was exposed.
He was. And if you remember the first play, or one of the first plays in the first quarter, when Witherspoon came off the blitz from the slot, right? And the receiver's like, hey, hot, look who's coming in. They didn't adjust. They never adjusted to the blitzes that they threw at the rookie side of the O-line for the Patriots.
No, but that's on Josh McDaniels.
It's on McDaniels, but also it's on the entire team. Like, what did Vrabel not see and say, hey, guys, why are we not adjusting to the blitz coming in from the slot or the guys that they're throwing extra on our left side?
I'm not an offensive coordinator, but it's pretty clear. Campbell's getting burnt like that. You got to roll Drake May out to the opposite direction of that. Like, just roll him out.
But not only that, though, the fact that the Seahawks defensive line guys just pulverize the front five. And if there is an objective for the Patriots this offseason, they need to get better O-linemen beyond what they have currently on that roster if they want to keep Drake May upright. But that Seahawks defense, guys, in camp, to your point, to what they did to the Broncos 10, 12 years ago, this was a demolition of what they did to the Patriots. They demoralized them by the third quarter. They knew this game was over by the time the fourth quarter hit. And if you're Mike McDonald and what he's built up, the number of young guys, I made this point to you guys 2 weeks ago, in the last three, four drafts, 14 guys that were drafted played a role in this game last night. And they have those guys locked in for another year or two. So the window's open for them to perhaps make a deep run. But we know how hard it is to repeat or go back to the Lombardi game after you win it or playing it the previous season.
The most famous John Schneider, Cam, is from the Dukes of Hazzard. But I think this John Schneider probably deserves to be bigger now.
Oh, good one,
Rex. Yeah, John Schneider had some bad country music records at the Dukes of Hazzard. This guy... So to put in context, guys, like I said, John Schneider, Hall of Famer now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer now, as he becomes the first and only general manager to win two Super Bowls with two different coaches and with two different teams with not one player on the team.
It's amazing, Gabe.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's rebuilt. So he built two Super Bowl champions. Like, there's other GMs that have won with different coaches or whatever, but, like, you know, same players, like not one same player. So, like, basically built a team, won the championship, dismantled the team, rebuilt the team, won a championship. I mean, that's the only general manager ever to do it. Speaks for itself. Very similar in a sense, like Joe Gibbs doesn't get the credit, in my opinion, for winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, right? We see Bill Belichick couldn't win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Joe Gibbs won with three, you know, Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, Mark Rippon. He won with different quarterbacks. Schneider winning with different coaches, different teams. They all deserve the credit. I mean, he got it right with McDonald. McDonald did a great job. Darnold played well. The young defensive guys flew around. And anyone that pays attention to listen, everybody said the same thing. And I've heard George Kittle told McAfee, and I heard Kittle talk. Kittle was talking in the green room about the game and shit. And Kittle said, like, the New England were in a lot of trouble, too. He basically said, like, we have a really good offensive line and they murdered us. He basically said, like, Seattle, every play, you know, they just push. And you saw literally and figuratively, there's nothing fancy about their pass rush, Cam, Seattle. They, like, sled dog you. They just push you into the quarterback. And you can't stop it. Like, they literally just push you back. And it only takes, like, four of them on your five. And then, like, Kittle and Shanahan said before the game, like, everyone said they played them. They said they get this dominant offensive. They push your O-line into your QB, and then everybody just gets the ball hawk in the backfield. Everybody's just sort of sitting on everything. And Kittle had a great point, too, that he said, and Orlovsky talked about that earlier in the year, and I saw this, and being in Seattle, I saw what they do. And Mo, you played football, so, like,
yeah.
McDonald's defense is so good, and their pass rush is so good with the four guys that they have, that it looks like they're running the same scheme, Mo, all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'll run the scheme with the defensive line. And when you pre-snap, you're like, yeah, they're running the same scheme. But it's not. They'll shift it up, like, just as you're snapping the ball, and you're getting a total different, like, nickel package. And, like, they almost play like a zone, Mo. Like, you know what I mean? It's like Yeah, we'll get a four pass rush. I think it's a good way of putting it. Like, they put a four pass rush at the paint, and it is at the line, and it just freaking clogged the paint. There's DBs everywhere. Like, if you're a quarterback, you're under pressure, there's nowhere to throw, Mo. All you see is Seahawk DBs everywhere if you're a QB.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys, you can ask any DC, whether it's pro or not, the biggest key component to a pass rush is the interior pass rush, the Aaron Donald position, the D-tackles, right? If they're able to push up and get the quarterback off its point, game over. And
Leonard
that's
Williams
what happened.
Never got the hype. Even last year, he was dominant. People didn't notice.
Exactly. Know? And that's what happened yesterday, guys, right? The D-tackles were able to push up ahead, and that opened up the one-on-ones to come off the edge and really pulverize Drake May. And, guys, Drake May, right, I think the over-under was, what, 37.5 yards? He was supposed to run yesterday. He was below, I think, by 0.5, whatever it was. But his skill set is that if the pocket collapses, he's able to run up the middle and get himself a first down. How many of those plays did you see yesterday that Drake May had that was easy for him? He was literally harassed and pressured. Yeah, he did.
Listen, he was rattled. You could tell he was nervous. His passes were a little off. Then he got rattled, getting sacked all the time. He got happy feet because he saw Will Campbell. He knew that he's not dubbed Drake. He knew that Will Campbell couldn't protect him. But as I brought up earlier, I really don't understand. And I even brought it up last week, if you remember, Cam. I said, man, one thing about this game is Josh McDaniels. This is like literally his 10th Super Bowl. And Vrabel, a bunch of Super Bowls. Josh McDaniels did not adjust. Like I said, he did not adjust. They kept on dropping May back into the pocket. Even Collinsworth said, why do they keep doing the same thing over again? It's not working. Like, he even threw it out there. I don't know why they don't roll him out or run some play action. Like, they've got to change things up. Like, and Will Campbell just could not protect. Like, they had to change things up, and they never did.
Nope,
they never got any design runs going for Drake May either. Just tell him, all right, do the old draw play. Drop back and take off, because they're getting such a pass rush. You can
he was running for his
own
life.
Aggression.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but Cam, they're coming so fast. If you can just dodge them, you're going to have space or dump it over their head. Yep. They didn't run any screen plays. Like, they really just played. They almost quit and played right into it. They were like, yeah, we can't stop this, so we're in trouble, and they didn't do anything about it.
It was crazy, guys. I was watching the Denver Super Bowl and this one, and Gabe, to your point, the defensive schemes are almost exactly the same with bull rush pressure. And then they come back, they flip their zone, like right before whatever, and then when they get to the quarterback's arm or whatever, their balls are getting tipped. They're putting up pop flies, and they're ball hawking. It's unbelievable. It's a good system. Another thing about Schneider, too, that I want to bring up, Gabe, is think about all the studs they got. They got a quarterback and what do you get in the third, fourth round? What do you get? Cam Chancellor in the fifth. Sherman, yeah. Like all these guys were fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks that they build that wicked team around, and they've done it again through great drafting. So I'm with you. I think a Hall of Fame guy, and you're right, Marinci. I was watching this game, and the Patriots just kept on doing the same thing and three and out, three and out, three and out. I'm like, okay, if you don't want to mix it up, that's fine. But I was very shocked that the brains on that team. You said it, Marinci. Vrabel, coach, player, McDaniel, been there, done that. They didn't really have a great game plan other than getting beat up.
I was surprised. You're right. Even with Vrabel, I understand the positivity side of things. And listen, don't panic because, you know, they were only down 12 or 9
exactly.
Or whatever and all this. So it was like, all right, don't panic. But there was a time, it was like midway through the third quarter, and it was like 12-0, like 19. Yeah, it might have been. I think it was 12-0 at that point. And Vrabel was clapping it up like everything was fine as the offense came off the field. I was like, dude, at some point, I know you're Johnny Positive, but at some point, like, it's time for the evil eye and to get in McDaniel's face and say, listen, we're running out of racetrack here. We're midway through the third. We're being shut out. Like, everything is not fine. I could tell, too, it was really early in the game, man. It was a quick camera shot. Like, I like to notice these things if I can. It's hard to see the O-line's faces, though. There was a shot after one of the second sack. There was like a second sack early in the game where Seattle just like blew it the F up again. One of the old linemen on New England's face walking back to the huddle. I saw it in his eyes. It was like an MMA fight. I knew he was screwed. I'm telling you, Cam, it was like 5 minutes into the game. I was like, they're so screwed. Like I saw it in his face. Yeah. Like he knew we're screwed. Like it was one of those, like he looked like, oh my God. Like his eyes were sort of wide open. Like what is happening? Like we're in trouble. Like it was almost like he looked like a guy, like he looked like a man who was in a fight that knew he was about to lose the fight. Like he had that look. Everyone has that like scared, like I'm in trouble, like thing for a second. I saw it in his eyes. I was like, the old line is rattled, man. And it wasn't Campbell. It was one of the brothers. And he sort of looked over at Campbell like, oh, my God. Like, you could just tell. Like, they were rattled, like, early. Oh, Seattle hard. Stole their manhood and broke their soul.
You know what
like,
another thing is, quarter, too, Gabe? Like, guys, listen to this one, too. Like, it's simple mathematics, okay? Seattle's up 19-0. Patriots get a touchdown. They don't even go for two. You're still down 12 points. Like, if you get a two-point conversion, it's a field goal and a touchdown with a two-point conversion for 11. Like little things, mathematics. Like I'm watching these guys go, like, you guys can't even add? This is the Super Bowl. Like I'm sitting back going, well, this is like, it's great for Seattle. And I'm watching Gabe exactly the same way as you. It's like, just the Patriots were off. Like Seattle was on, but they were off. Like it just, it was wild.
No, and it was frustrating as a Buffalo Bill fan watching that because we would have put up a better effort. Now,
I can't say
we would have won, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been a hell of a game. I'll tell you that.
Denver would have made it a better game. The Bills would have made it a better game.
No,
the
Patriots, I think the Broncos would have got
I think the Broncos would have got screwed up in the same way the Patriots.
Really?
They would have murdered Jared Stidham.
I think the Broncos.
Offense is bad. It's bad, too.
Yeah. They're bad all season long. Yeah.
I think the Broncos are better than
the Bills would have been able to score. Yes. At least the Bills would have put a little pressure on Darnold to score.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the Bills are better than both those teams, and I think the Patriots are the worst out of three.
Defense and butts were candies and nuts, right?
You're right. Got to get there, Gabe. I'm sick and tired of watching this team lose on heartbreaking plays, but no, this is awesome.
If I was Steve Vai, I would be playing with David Lee Roth, but I'm not. It's sort of one of those. I get it.
They're going to have to figure it out one of these days for sure, but it's just, like, it's weird because people look at offense, and I'm just pride myself on, like, I love the defenses of this team. Like, and both of those teams that I love, the Legion of Boom and the Dark Side, Gabe, like, look at the players that they have on defense. They're absolute killers. Like, I'm just
watching. And they're young.
Yes, they're young.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Everyone, you know, they'll be good. They'll be good.
But it'll be tough.
It's the NFL. I'm just glad they got their second Super Bowl. You know what I mean? It's one of those things.
I think the Bears are going in the right direction.
Funny you mentioned that.
We'll see, right?
Gabe, I just made a bet. If I made one bet, I saw Bears 14-1 NFC. That's the first thing I looked at.
Also, if you believe, I believe in this stuff. If you believe in a conspiracy of the NFL Super Bowl color logo, it'll be Jacksonville, Chicago.
That's right, yeah.
The logo can, the colors. I'm telling you, man, it's insane how these little NFL things you got to, like, pay attention to. I don't know if you saw Cam and Mo. There was a picture before the year started, Cam. It was like week one of the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I watched
and
it.
The NFL posted a tweet, and it was the Golden Gate Bridge, and it was every quarterback on the Golden Gate Bridge, and it said the road to the Super Bowl begins now. Drake May and Sam Darnold were in the front.
Right at the front, the
background of the picture, but close
all
to the
big names were in the back, so you could see their names. Like it said, Kelly, Burrow, Prescott, but in the front, and people were like, amazing. "Oh my God!" They told us before it started. If you remember, 2 years ago, the teams were in the color of the logo.
Somebody caught in and said,
"Man, if you notice the color of the logo, it hits a lot." There's a lot of dumb little things. The other dumb one yesterday is. There's always people who think like the NFL is rigged or it's satanic, like ultra crazy, people. You know, all the Freemasons and the NFL is the Illuminati and all this type stuff. So yesterday, total yards in a game was 666.
That's the best.
666 total That's yards great. In San Francisco.
Wow.
So Kubiak gets it done. He wins the Super Bowl on the same field that his father, Gary, won, Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator. So we should say, as we stated, they're all going to be back, but we've seen these teams, man. Teams lose their coordinator sometimes, and it's not the same after.
That's right.
And I'm telling you what, man, like this guy, Darnold loved him. I don't know, like you saw there was a last night in the room after when everyone was pretty much gone. Like everyone, like the room was pretty much emptied out. People were parts off to the party, and Darnold was soaking it all up like he didn't want to leave the locker room type thing. And he went up. There was a video. He went up to Kubiak, a private moment. And you could see, like, how emotional it was. And he told him, man, thanks for, like, getting me a Super Bowl, bro. Like, and, like, likewise. Like, everyone said Sam Darnold sucked, man.
I'm
and,
so
like,
happy for him.
He just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you just sort of thank Kubiak. Thanks for everything, man. Like, and It's one of those emotional moments. And then Kubiak was fired up. He said, "We're off to effing Las Vegas. Let's go."
I know, that's the whole thing. It's like the worst kept secret. He couldn't even wait. The whole world.
Yeah, he doesn't even get the party. He goes to the party and he'll be in Vegas today. Like he'll be at the parade Wednesday, but he's already in Vegas today. Like he has to meet the media and stuff.
You're right, Gabe. He's in Las Vegas. I'm just like, couldn't we wait to break this story like today? Everyone knew, so it's just like, yeah. But Kubiak did a great job,
right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But anyway, yeah, I think
everyone knew, but he told everyone, "Don't ask me about it."
Yeah,
and Seattle media respected him.
Yeah, and they told the Raiders said, "We won't bother you during the week, and we'll talk to you after."
I had Adam Hill on from the Review Journal, and he said that Kubiak told him, "I'll be glad to give you a one-on-one interview as soon as I get to Vegas and on Monday, and it's nice to meet you." And like, because Adam's the big beat writer.
Yeah,
he said, "Pleasure to meet you," but he goes, "Please. Please, I'm in a tough spot. I can't. It'll look bad if I talk about the Raiders this week. I'm in the Super Bowl." And he told him, "I can't talk about the Raiders, so please don't ask me." And Adam had to go to the practice every day and ask him in different ways. It was part of the game. It's all part of the shtick and whatever. So as soon as the game is over, most guys say, "Cam, I'm going to Disney." Now it's just funny. I'm going to Las Vegas.
I'm going
to Las Vegas. Yeah,
I'm flying down now.
That's amazing.
Go to Las Vegas. And speaking of Las Vegas, there are reports now that Max Crosby told Tom Brady this week at the Super Bowl. Mo, you're a Raider fan.
Yeah.
Crosby told Tom Brady that he'll never play for the Raiders again.
I love it.
That's crazy.
Get that too deleted. I don't know. Miles Garrett said he'll never play for the Browns again. He's still there, but
they paid him well to stay in Cleveland. That's the difference, right? I mean, with Max,
you're better off trading Crosby. Start 100%. Over. You got to charge. Agreed. Start over. Keep Powers, obviously, but get rid of Crosby.
They have a lot of holes, guys, and they're not going to be anywhere near. This rebuild will take 2, maybe 3 years, right? And if they can get draft picks, and again, they're all it is lotto tickets, right? Those picks, they may not be surefire hits. They might be misses, but if they get draft picks for him, they got to do it, because you're not gonna get anything in value next year if it's the same thing as it was this past year. So I think he won't be a Raider by the time we get the NFL draft in late April.
It seems that it's a done deal that Mendoza is going to be a Raider. Oh, God, what did the U.S. just do in this? Did they just win? I had the Italians to win gold in curling. I'm eliminated. The USA just hit a shot to win 9-8.
Wow, what a game. That's tight.
9-8. Brutal.
Welcome to the Olympics.
Brutal. 9-8. Man, they played like this morning in a preliminary round. Now they just played again. And it was 7-6 Italy. So the only good positive I can take out of this is I bet on Italy in the preliminary game. Like, it was literally after, it was like at 3 a.m. It was at the Super Bowl. Like, I have a Super Bowl last night. I didn't realize they were playing the semifinals again right away this morning. So I was thinking, all right, if Italy doesn't win the gold, at least I can win this match. So I did, but they don't win the gold. They lose 9-8 to the USA. Man, this USA dude, man, guy's got blisters all over his hand. His hand, wow. The Italian guy just smashed his broom.
Smashed his broom.
He broom.
Like, wait a second. Smash the broom.
Oh, he's mad. So like, it's like a goalie. Yeah, he just went over and he smashed his broom out.
It must be one of those one piece brooms in hockey, right? The equivalent of a hockey stick in broom style.
Yeah, it's funny. He smashed his broom. The girl took it better. She was they both shook hands. Like, the girl was like, kind of, she was nicer about it. Like, she even like kind of grinned a little bit and talked to them for a second. The Italian dude shook hands, went over back to like their own bench area, and just smashed his broom.
That's awesome.
Little Italian passion.
Hey, you know what? The number one right now in Olympic medal total right now. Ten medals now.
I will say this quickly, Gabe. I know we're going to be going through the Olympic hockey stuff, but take a look. Like, they have Team Canada, and they're in a tougher group all there. There's a lot of value on the Americans for, like, top goal scorer, like Tage Thompson, 80-1. We'll talk about that stuff. Like, the numbers are skewed because they're in an easier group to get out. I've been doing some research.
We were talking about that last night, actually, for some.
No, it's said, I'm looking at the numbers, Mo and Gabe. I'm like, those numbers are off. Like, you're giving Canada, we love Canada. They're giving a lot of respect, and the USA numbers are, there's crazy value on some.
Well, Canada, USA have a cupcake group.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to roll.
Canada's group is manageable, but playing the Czech, you're not going to score like, yeah, the USA are playing a bunch of teams. Like, they could score 7 goals and stuff in some of these games. But Italy loses, son of a bitch, in the mixed curling doubles. 9-8, close match. That was the semifinals. So they'll be playing in a bronze medal match, and the USA go on to this curling stuff has been – every game was whatever, dude. It was all by one rock and stuff. So heads up for the women's and the men's now that are starting for curling. Always enjoy curling in the Olympics. It's been a pretty eventful Olympics so far. The Lindsey Vonn, of course, ends up crashing again.
You're terrible.
She just can't buy a break. And USA is having a nice start so far. They're actually the second choice after Norway now to have the most gold medals. But a lot of the Norwegian events that they win haven't started yet. So, yeah. So as far as the football is concerned, I think, you know, the Raiders should be open-minded about trading the first overall pick. But I don't think they are. And number one, I like Mendoza, and he was a super nice kid, for the record, guys. He was just like he is on TV, except even nicer. I actually felt – it's the first time I ever felt bad swearing in front of a football player. I kept swearing in front of him. And it was like he was like a church boy. I was like, damn, don't swear in front of this
guy. For some
reason, I said, oh, you're the fucking man. He started laughing. I'm like, hey, man. I said,
you don't think Christian A swears in front of him? I'm sure he does.
Yeah, so I know. It's just funny. Like, yeah, it was just weird. Like, he was so nice. Like, he was so, like, he seemed awestruck. He was like, oh, this is great. Like, there's George Kittle. And he was, like, so, like, he was just such a nice kid.
But you know what he is, Gabe? Nice and focused. It shows up in games and stuff like that. Don't let niceness fool you. This guy wants to win big time. He's got a killer instinct, but a kind heart.
But with all that being stated, he's good. I don't think he's a superstar. I'm not saying he can't win a Super Bowl down the year, but I'm just saying, like, he's going to need help. He's going to need people around him. He is a good kid. That's what the Raiders like about this. He's a safe pick. Everything that they've been through with their picks and whatever, this is a safe pick.
Yeah,
they need a quarterback. They need a face. Like, they need positivity, but they also need picks and talent, Mo. So, like, I think trading the pick, like Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review is talking about that, about how a lot of people think, and former Raider players, Gallery was talking about it, you know, these things. They just need so much help. They should be open to trading the pick. Nothing against Mendoza. Yet, I'm not sure, Mo, Mendoza's good enough that teams are going to get crazy and offer enough.
Well, I think, because,
like, they're not going to look at him like an Arch Manning or a Dante Moore next year. Like, there'll be some big time, you know what I mean? Like, a big time quarterback coming into the NFL they want to trade up for. There might be a team or two. All it takes is one, right? But I don't think Mendoza blows people away enough that people are going to be like, yeah, we're going to give like 3 number one draft picks up for this guy.
But it's a lean quarterback year for NFL free agents and draft class guys, right? Like, who's the top quarterback?
Last thing, I'm going to throw it out there. My hot take is, I think Garrett Nussmeier could be better than Mendoza is in the NFL even. Like, Nussmeier, you could get Nussmeier. Like, if you – someone's going to get Nussmeier in that Jackson Dart range. Someone's going to take a chance on Nussmeier in that 16-20 for range type thing, and he's going to be good.
For sure. And I think because it's such a lean year for quarterbacks, someone – and Cam and Gabe, again, you guys know NFL, like there's no tomorrow. There's going to be a team out there that's going to say, hey, can we call the Raiders up and give them 5 picks, 3 ones and 2 twos, because we think Mendoza could be our guy. And there will be offers for the Raiders to look at, guys. But the reality is,
if you were
the
Raiders, you could get diabolical and tell a team, we'll give you the number one pick in the draft and Max Crosby. Imagine that.
And then you tell them, right? You can get 10 picks from Crosby in the first pick if you play your cards right.
You never get anything in trades in the NFL, Mo.
But again, they're all lottery tickets, though.
You
ain't
getting much for Crosby. That's the problem.
But you know what? You'll probably get a one and a couple of twos, I think. You'll get 3 picks from Crosby. This question, what value will the picks be when they are offered for Crosby?
Teams, it's interesting because you're seeing it in the
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're seeing it in the NBA. You saw it in the NBA with the trade deadline. Teams all called the Bucks bluff. right? They wanted to trade Giannis, and everybody said, no, we're not. We're just not going to give you that much. Right? He's 31 years old. He's hurt all the time. We're not giving you 6 first-round draft picks and a superstar player back. And they got stuck with him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, Crosby's a little bit different situation, but you see it all the time, man. Star players in the NFL get traded for nothing all the time. Teams don't like taking on the contract and this and that, but there'll be a market for Crosby.
But Crosby has, he has a friendly contract, though. That makes him more appealing for teams, though.
And, oh, listen, he'd be great on the Buffalo Bills, I'll tell you that. Bills need a defensive lineman. So, Cam, about the Seahawks, like I said, they're going to be the same team. Losing a coordinator is big. Like, we saw that you see it a lot, where a Super Bowl team loses the coordinator and suddenly the offense isn't the same or the quarterback's not the same because it was his guy, you know what I mean? The QB, you know, the OC was his guy.
Yep.
So, you'll have a new OC in Seattle. And Kenneth Walker's a free agent. They picked a pretty good time to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
156 total yards. Kenneth Walker will be able to help football teams. But similar situation. I don't know. Like, I don't think Kenneth Walker is like a – I don't think he's good enough that in the – and I'm not saying this in a disparaging way because the guy's a stud. But, I mean, I don't know. There might be a team or two that line up. But I don't think teams are going to be lining up to offer him $20 million a year or anything. He likes Seattle. You were loyal. Like, I know he likes Schneider. He loves the team and all that. He was good for you. Just work out a deal with him. You know what I mean? You don't want to pay running backs. Oh. I get it. But work out a deal. Make him happy. Give him, you know, 15 mil a year or whatever.
No,
if he wants 18, give him, you know what I mean? Just iron out a deal with him. You could lose him, though. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, we could definitely lose
him. Like, if he's looking solely for money and he tells the league, hey, highest bidder gets me, there'll be a team like Tampa.
Oh, for sure. Knows,
like some random bad team will say, hey, let's bring in the Super Bowl MVP for the sake of it, right? Like the Browns or something, you know?
He's essential to stay because that's the beautiful thing. Like, no offense to Zach Charbonnet, who's a goal line back.
He's hurt, you know, all the time.
That's the thing. Chip blocker, goal line back. Helani's the same thing. They're more tanks. You need Walker's explosiveness. Seattle, I think, should pay him. I don't want to see another running back there, Gabe. He played great this year.
And you don't really have to pay anybody else, so just pay him. A couple of defensive guys.
But you know, they're gonna do nothing. This is my prediction in the draft with Seattle, too. And you bring up a great point about Kubiak. You go pick up like a receiver like Malachi. That, like, I seen some mocks like Fields from Notre Dame because Cooper Kupp's older now. Then you have that person to go alongside. They have the ability now to get luxury items because the young players have worked out. But Gabe, I'm telling you, like, I think it's vital. Like, I think Walker's a lot more important than people think. He played his best games when it got serious. They didn't burn him out earlier on in the year. But this is the thing. The guy's electrifying in the open field. He's a real tough kid. He drags tacklers. Like, when they improve their offensive line, I think he's even going to be better.
And they have cap space of $73 million to work with. So, really, they're not being forced their hand to say, hey, we got to give Walker. They're going to say, hey, you got to agree to our terms. We can look elsewhere and get a quality running back to come in through the draft or somewhere else in the market.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you're Walker, too, you got to take care of yourself.
100%.
Right, that's what it's about. Let's just be real. Like, he's won the Super Bowl. Like, now I wouldn't, if I'm Walker, there's no real loyalty to Seattle. And if you're Seattle, there's no real loyalty to him in a sense. Back, you both got your end game. You won the Super Bowl. We just got you the Super Bowl MVP, and you're a free agent. But, you know, you want to keep him. You know, you want to keep him for the continuity. You know, you lose your coordinator. You know, and he played so good for you. And like I said, he likes Seattle. He wants to be there. So no reason to, like, to lose him. But also, if you're Walker, you've got to realize too how good Schneider is at his job, right? And if you're Seattle, like you said, Seattle have a ton of cap space, so they can re-sign. I'm just stating they're not going to get dumb about it. So if you're Walker, realize Schneider's good enough that he could draft a running back this year and he'll be good and he'll replace me. So he should realize that like, this guy's pretty good at his job and he probably could replace me. So, you know, I'm not going to get greedy here. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm just throwing it out there that that's one of the storylines to keep her eye on. So the NFL season is done. Normally there's like a big letdown after the Super Bowl, but this year's a little different because we have the Olympics. Although I'm a little bit let down that the Italian mixed curling doubles team just lost 9-8 to Team USA.
Didn't come through.
But I got to move on, Cam. I can't live in the past.
No,
and
no,
I hit AJ Barner first touchdown of the game.
Me too,
Gabe.
Me too. I would have won
that's
more.
Unbelievable.
But I was so desperate. I got Matsuyama in golf. I'm like, Gardner, what? This guy shot 7 under. I'm like cashing out bets to try to like win money, hedging and doing this and that. Yeah, it was a real crazy night. I had hit Barner too. I went
nearly
bananas.
Didn't come, though. There was nearly. At some point, it didn't look like there was going to be a touchdown.
Touchdown.
In the game, let alone first touchdown.
I tell you, Gabe, I always take the tight end. Barner, it was one of my favorite props. Hey, we lost a couple props, like a hook, but I'm telling you, Barner was the one prop that I'm like with catches, yards, first touchdown, anytime touchdown, because that's how you attack New England through the tight end. And he was so damn open on that play. Marenzi, like you, I bet you're watching. Go, oh my God, he's there. I'm like, yeah, I flipped out. It was what a. 14
yeah,
to 1 is a nice
was
price.
Open, I was like, please tell me that's Barner that was
yeah,
open.
It's
I was
Barner.
Like, oh, yeah, good.
That's him.
Hey, question for you guys. The future, right? Opening night will be Seahawks, the host, right? Do they play the Cowboys? Do they play the Niners? Do they play the Rams? They got some big names coming
have,
to Seattle. Chiefs are coming
have,
up, Patriots as well.
They have, yeah. This is one of those deals where they really have a big choice of how they want to approach it. Like you said, Mo, they have a lot of flashy like home games. Seattle,
Cowboys,
year.
Chiefs, Bears, right? The hot name, the Patriots come out to Seattle, right?
Could be the Bears because they're you know, sort of potential threat to you as the next one. You could they've done Super Bowl rematch before, right? They had Carolina, Denver play, they've done the Super Bowl rematch before.
I think the Cowboys get them a huge number though. Cowboys always love that opening night spotlight.
Cowboys don't deserve to be playing.
Nah,
the
Cowboys got the opening night last year against the Eagles.
But the NFL that's is going to say, hey, we can get even more numbers with Cowboys. Yeah. If the Cowboys have a firework offseason, they're going to say, hey, let's put the Cowboys in there against the Seahawks opening night. They would. They've done it before against Tampa 4 years ago.
The only reason, you know what I'd say, they wouldn't do a Super Bowl rematch is just because it was such a beatdown.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, you know, we got to see this game again, right?
I like your Bears close, idea, right? Gabe. I think Williams and the Chicago very close to beating the Rams. I think that would be a great way to kick it off. Makes sense.
That Seahawks Patriot game might be a regional 4 or 5 kickoff in week 6 of the NFL season. More than
Seahawks fans are happy now. Rightfully so, but get ready for the price bumps coming up now that they won.
You're right. Now it's like, oh, yeah, they were angry
and
before. Now
Jody
game,
Allen
now
is
back.
She's selling the team, right?
$9 billion, I think.
So, I think she needs to get more now that they won.
$11 billion, probably.
11 to 12, 12. They're even talking $12 billion. Pretty wild.
That's why it was essential to win, Gabe. That's why you got to take care of business. You said it. You get to the dance, you got to win that damn game. It's everything, man. It's everything. And they did. Like, it's going to be interesting moving in the future.
She's giving the entire $12 billion to charity.
That's
great. That was probably the
she's
the
not keeping
will.
Any of the money. Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
She's rich. Like they're already rich, so rich. But yeah, Allen, the Paul Allen was a philanthropist for real. Yeah. And he said there was no real time limit or anything like that. So she's just being a smart businesswoman now.
Yeah.
And seeing that this is as hot as it is now. Now's the time. Right. So it was in the deal. Like she inherited the Portland Trailblazers and the Seahawks. And it was eventually you got to sell the team whenever you want to feel is right. You sell the teams and the money goes to charity. Although I think she's hanging on to the Blazers.
Did she not sell the Blazers or on the cusp of selling the Blazers because it was going to go for $5 billion, $6 billion, I believe?
Yeah,
like
there's something about just making sure that it stayed in Portland and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? She just wanted to make sure she got the right owner. Like,
yeah, I think because they want to move to Seattle, right? They want to move the Blazers to Seattle.
There was some buzz about the Pacific Northwest felt threatened, though, and rightfully so. Seattle and Vancouver both got dissolved.
Yeah. It's a shame.
So speaking of which, actually – there's a big buzz today, actually, NBA rumors that it's finally going to happen. They're about to announce it, that the league has approved it, that whatever.
Seattle, just, Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, expansion, Seattle, Las Vegas will be coming into the NBA.
Excellent.
That's good for me for Seattle. I can see the Raptors now and other games, too. But I'm not going to become a Sonic fan or anything like that. But like, you know, at least I can go to games. That's going to be cool, though. I'll see the Raptors a little bit. I want to go to Portland, but it's
weird. The Sonics were my team before the Raptors, Gabe. I don't know why I like Seattle teams all of a sudden. I live here, but I love all their teams. It's crazy. I don't know.
It's funny because Silver, a lot in the league really weren't as excited about Vegas as people thought they were. Right?
It's not down.
It's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's not that it's died down, Mo. It's, they already have Vegas. It's a Laker town.
Yeah.
Like point blank. It's a Laker town.
It is.
Like, you're cutting into like Silver. Silver was honest about it in an interview a couple of months ago. And he said, you know, Vegas is great. And he basically said, you know, obviously Vegas is Vegas and it'll do well there. And he goes, but he goes, Vegas is beside Los Angeles. And he goes, we have the Clippers there. We have, and on the other side, Cam, you got the Phoenix Suns, right? Like, there's already basketball there, kind of.
And to the north of Utah, right? Which is
Mo. Like, the Utah Jazz are like 3 hours away. Yeah, Phoenix are 4 hours away. Like, the Clippers are like the Lakers and the Dodgers, like, it's an LA town. So
the bottom line, though, Gabe, you know, and Seattle, when they got hosed, like, you need a team. Like, Portland's the representative of, like, not just the Vancouver Grizzlies, then the Sonics. Like, they've been screwed for basketball and that. The fact that the Sonics, Seattle's coming back, but you're right. I think, like, that franchise is way more vital than Vegas. That's my take.
If Silver had his way, if you gave him truth serum, he would want to have probably Seattle and London be the two teams coming in. Because the money that they'll get from the London franchise, if they ever went to international waters for that moment.
Silver wants a team in Canada. Point blank. He'd put a team in Vancouver if somebody stepped up.
I would like that.
He'd put a team in Montreal if somebody stepped up. The problem is somebody actually has to do it for real instead of just talking about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of
talk. Like we said, like, exactly, Bo. You know, you're there. Talk. It's like as soon as the phone ever rings and they call the bluff. All right, hey, Bud Selig. Okay. All right, Mitch Garber. Okay, Stephen Brofman. Mitch, Bud Selig, not Bud Selig, but what's his new name? The new jackass.
jackass.
The new. Manfred, Peter. Yeah, Rob Manfred.
They talk.
Rob Manfred.
Yeah, no, but like, you know, it's all the talk. Manfred. Garber and Robin over the years and this and the Rays and blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, Rob Manfred called their bluffs. And all right, you guys want a baseball team? We're in. We'll put a team in Montreal. The owners are in. The agents are in. The Player Association are in. They all say, yeah, they'll go back to Montreal. They even told them you could play in Olympic Stadium. You believe that? They even said you don't even need a new stadium. They said just renovate Olympic Stadium. But they said you got to pay us $2 billion for the expansion fee. Right? Like,
yeah. They're saying now it's going to be Nashville and Salt Lake City, right, for MLB by 29.
Yeah, there's no, not a chance. I don't know. I don't know, Mo, if you know that new guy. What's his name?
Yeah. He's been on social media.
Bottom line is Canada's
big
enough. He's
been big game. To get, I know he has money.
Yep.
I know he has money, Mo, but he doesn't have that type of money. Right? The guy seems to be like a 100 millionaire type of dude, which is good. It's nice that there's a 100 millionaire type of guy interested and want to bring the Expos to Montreal. But, like, yeah, you don't need a 100 millionaire guy. Like, you need billionaires.
But that,
like,
what's going to be the first league where we get two Canadian teams? Because you got what, and that's the whole thing. Toronto's got the team. You got the Raptors. You got the Jays. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what
I'll
city?
I'll say the NBA. Maybe Montreal.
Montreal?
Yeah. I'll say this, though, right? We got the G League game. Montreal, right? I'm going tomorrow to the G League game with Long Island playing here, right? And so the fans have shown up for that. Like, to the credit of Montreal sports fans, for basketball, whether it's CEBL, NBA, whatever it is, a couple of WNBA games this summer, they've shown up in numbers, right? So there is a taste for it in the city. But the question, to Gabe's point, is who's going to step up to the plate or to center court and say, all right,
it's
I'm
U.S.
my hand.
Money, too. So it's like, all right, you got to give $2 billion of U.S. funds, which is like 2.7 billion Canadian. Nobody has that money in Canada. And it's embarrassing to say they do, but they're too conservative. They don't want to do it. They don't put their money in. Rogers are the only ones that do it. Bell got out of the sports business. They were like, nah. We're not spending this type of money. And it's sad, but look, like you said, like Seattle's getting this, Vegas getting that. And look here in Vancouver, we're fighting to keep an MLS team with the Whitecaps. Like, the Whitecaps are on the verge of leaving. And, you know, it's like, I don't understand this. Like, we sell 50,000 tickets. They have the seventh highest attendance in the league. What's the problem? The problem is nobody in Canada wants to step up and buy the team. Nobody, like, you know what I mean, wants to, like, yeah, we'll build a state. No one has a vision. Like, it's like, well, you know what? Vancouver's a great soccer city, and if we build our own soccer stadium, we'll just print money for the rest of eternity. Wow, you know, we need the BC government, and, you know, and like, oh, you know,
you're
wow.
So right. So much red tape with government.
You know, it's
everybody.
Like just excuses.
But you know what, Gabe?
You're
you know
so
what, guys?
Right, Gabe. That's the thing.
You see, the problem is in the U.S., right? Not the problem is, but in the U.S., right? A lot of these politicians have grown up with sports, so they know.
Well, that's the, there's a big difference. Yeah.
Here, we don't have that DNA that has been ingrained.
Great call.
In the U.S., support sports. Look at Las Vegas, man. The people, they just say, oh, we'll just charge the tourist money on the hotel tax fees. And exactly. Here, like in the U.S., they don't even tell you. Like, a lot of people get mad. It's a big debate, right? Should the public pay for billionaire sports stadiums? Probably not. No. Right? But look at the Buffalo Bills. George Kurtz lives in Long Island, New York. All right? You know George Kurtz, Mo? He's on our
network. Of course. Yeah. Legend, man. Legend.
George Kurtz lives in Long Island. His tax dollars paid for a Buffalo Bills stadium. Kurtz has never been to Buffalo in his life.
That's the best line ever.
They built. They built like Buffalo, like Kurt, like built like.
Now your New York State taxes, Kurt.
Yeah, no, like
Pagula, Buffalo, New York.
Pagula put in like Pagula put in $300 million, and the government put in like $1.2 billion.
Oh, I'm dying right now.
Las Vegas, same thing. Las Vegas, they're building an $8 million stadium. Fisher's not paying a cent. They're building it for free from. In Canada, you can't do that. No. Like they don't build stadiums.
That's why Montreal lost the World Cup opportunity because
yeah,
no
but
one
this
wants
is where
to...
the feds need to step up and in. And I understand you don't subsidize every sports team.
No,
but you need stadiums for concerts, events, local kids to play. Yes. It's not rocket science. You can never have too many venues. So here in BC, I don't know. It's an old thing is too. Like BC Place is a fine stadium. It's nice, and they just put another $300 million into it, like for the World Cup. Like literally $250-300 million, like new press boxes, new luxury suites, new, like, it's like it's totally modern now. And MLS is like, oh, you can't play there because they don't own it because whatever. So the Whitecaps have a crappy deal at that stadium.
But also, like, they don't get the concessions too. Yeah, that's right.
They don't get the parking, the concessions, whatever. Like, so the government owns BC Place. So the whole thing is, so the Whitecaps are trying to get a better deal from BC Place. And BC Place won't give them a better deal, Ken. So they're like, so the Whitecaps are like, if we can't get a better deal, we're going to have to fold and leave.
That is insane.
And someone at BC Place told them, we'd be better off without you anyways. Like they're, so then people, like they're all losers. Like I'm mad at them all. I love the Whitecaps to death, but I'm sick of them. I'm sick of your excuses. You guys, like, we gave you so much money. I've literally spent probably like $10,000, $20,000 with your team. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I go to your games. I buy gear for this purpose, to support you. For that purpose. Like, that, okay, you know what? We got to support this team. We have. Like, you've sold out 50,000, this 1,000. You sell out merchandise. Like, there's not much more we can do for you. Like, if you can't run your team, you're just bad businessmen.
How the hell does a team that go to the MLS Finals be in the situation?
Saying, they went to the Champions League Final and any MLS Cup Final. What more do you want to do? What more can a team do?
To Messi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on here?
Mueller's playing on the cheap. He's paying for $6 million a year. That's nothing, Mo. For
oh, that's peanuts.
It reminds me, you guys remember this? 95, the Devils.
They're the money ball team of, like, we're the Oakland Athletics of the
league. Yeah, that's a good call, actually.
Right. You remember the Devils 95 when they won the Cup? They were supposed to move to Nashville. In the last second, the governor came through and, hey, I'm the knight in shining armor to come save the Devils.
Well, that's what everyone's waiting for.
To Gabe's
for
point,
here.
Yeah. though, these politicians better start getting on board. They got so many other things going on. Like, you're right, Gabe. Like, it's like, this is nuts. Like,
yeah, you can understand the government's perspective, too. Everyone has a point. Imagine, Cam, saying, how is it that we just put $200 million, $300 million into the BC Place that's good enough for the World Cup, but it's not good enough for you, the Vancouver Whitecaps?
But you know what?
But then it comes back down to the deal, right? But
the parking concessions and all that stuff. Why can't we get a piece of the pie? That's what they're trying to get. That's what it comes down to, guys.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm here, Mo. I'm aware.
Yeah, no, that's what it comes down to, right?
I want my pie.
Yeah,
no. Yeah,
but pie. Like, they're not going to get all that though, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Like, if you're BC Place, no. It's like, you don't own the stadium. We do. We own the parking lot.
But what about the BC Lions, though, Gabe? You know, you're close to them.
They don't care because they only play 9 games a year there.
Great call.
Doesn't affect them. Guy, the last thing the BC Lions owner needs to start building his own stadium, though. The guy can't build his own practice facility. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like,
and the bus to Surrey.
The other thing is, too, he likes BC Place. He's fine with it. He's only there. He's cool with his deal. He's only there a couple of times a year. And in fact, like the BC Lions on their season tickets, like they're even pushing the get season tickets for the new and improved BC place.
Gabe, does anybody in the CFL it's have a practice facility? No one can.
It's like Toronto. Like,
yes.
The common sense thing would just be, I don't know, if you want a BC Lions and Whitecaps, have them share an effing stadium if you want, if you really want to get out of BC place. But the soccer snobs don't want to share.
Yeah, they that's another problem.
Soccer stadium.
Yes, they do. Soccer people are different than other people. Like, they're,
yeah, remember,
they're,
like, even BMO, they didn't want to let the Argos in. It's our stadium.
Yeah, it's like, relax.
Stadium, right?
Relax.
Like,
it's, we can all play here.
It's not
Yeah, but that stadium, too, guys, was deceptive. It's not your stadium. Taxpayers around Canada built that stadium for you for the under 21 World Cup or whatever the hell it was, like, 20 years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't built by, like, MLSE. MLSE manages it and just took it over. That's the whole thing, like in Canada. Like, you build a stadium and then the team takes it. Like, it's just, it's too bad. Like I said, here in Vancouver, they're all to blame. Like I said, it's very Montreal over again. It's like, guys, you can blame this guy, you can blame that guy, you can all, and they all leak things to the media every day. Right? Like, the Whitecaps are always playing the victim. Oh, BC place are evil and the government's not helping us. The government are a bunch of jerks that don't really want to, you know, they're not helping the BC Lions very much, or the Whitecaps very much. But, like, it's just sort of just like, you know, all of you, like the mayor, the premier, they all say different things every day. It's like, just all shut up and get a deal done. Otherwise, the team's going to leave.
So, Gabe, to the question I'll pose to you, in 2027, will the Vancouver Whitecaps still be in place in your hometown?
Yeah. I think it'll be saved. It'll be saved. In fact, I saw that they just signed a deal with BC Place to settle things because, yeah, it was like for real that they could leave fast type thing.
Right.
Like after this year. But they just signed an extension. So, like, talks went better. The whole thing is there's room. You see it in Montreal, Mo. You got, like, The Canadians built, like, that building in Laval, and look, it's packed. They have concerts
it's
there.
It's rad. It's beautiful.
Yeah, like, even here, man, like, they look at the women's team, man. Nobody was even using Pacific Coliseum that much. They put $6 million renovations into it. They sell it out all the time. There's concerts there all the time. BC Place is a pretty heavily booked venue, too. Like, it's like BC Place just needs to realize that they're not going to be the only stadium in town forever, right? Like, and soccer is really big here, guys. Just build a little 30,000 outdoor soccer stadium. And you know what? I would let the other team play in it, like the Vancouver team and the Canadian League, Mo. The other Vancouver
CPL.
FC.
Yeah.
CPL. Let the kids use it for real. Make it a multi-purpose. Just whatever, man. Have concerts there. And, like, it'll pay for itself. It's not just for the Whitecaps. Like, it'll pay for itself. But as I stated, in Canada, man, we just bitch about everything all the time. Like, we don't get anything done. It's just whining. Oh, I don't want to pay for that. What about the junkies? And, oh, I want to separate in Alberta and Quebec. And no one's happy ever, Cam. It's just constant complaining here.
I think Alberta spent like millions of dollars on a daylight savings study. That's a bunch of idiots. What?
We're going to move forward.
Alberta exactly. Wants to separate. I'd let them. I'd be telling them, you're a landlocked province. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you know, I mean, they
Alberta, you're
like,
right. Alberta's got more angst than Quebec. It's not even close.
Trust me,
we're
way worse than Quebec.
Quebec
doesn't want to separate. Quebec just likes to bitch and get what they want. Yeah. Alberta,
yeah, exactly.
Jobs,
yes.
Like. And Alberta gets angry at Quebec.
Quebec does the hard sell. Alberta's like hates the rest of Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's different purposes. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know this thing was going to turn into a sports political show. I'm enjoying it.
The head of Quebec, the Legault guy, wherever. The head of the block party, he's funny as hell. Like, he said,
that guy is comedy.
Because he is funny. Daniel Smith said, we're just like Quebec, we're fighting for our culture. And the guy of Quebec said, I'm not sure that wanting to separate to sell oil is a culture, but I guess if you say so, it was funny. Said their culture is to sell. He said, we're actually trying to separate because of our culture. Like, but yeah, it was funny. But all right, we'll wrap it up with this because we won't speak, Mo.
Yeah.
For next Monday, NBA All-Star Weekend.
Oh, God.
This weekend. I was excited, actually. I'm actually a mark. I actually like the NBA All-Star. I used to like the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
NBA All-Star, the skills competition sucks now. They ruined the Saturday. The slam dunk competition is a joke. It just is. people like the skills and the three ball a bit more now, but like, right. You know, there's no hype about it this year at all. But the USA versus the world angle was pretty cool. But in typical NBA fashion, guys, every player is like hurt or not there now. And it's sort of like, so every day you're sort of like, oh, this guy's out now. So Giannis can't play because he's injured. Now SGA is out, unfortunately. He really is hurt. He got hurt, abdominal strain. So he's out. He can't play. He's not playing in this game. But there are odds, guys, for the there's two U.S. teams and the world team. I'd like to believe that they take this more seriously, that the guys on the world team say, you know what, we want to win this for real. That we want to win this for real. But I don't know. It's hard to trust them. Like, Luka does stupid things and mails it in. Jokic often doesn't seem to care about stuff like this. So I'm suddenly not so sure. USA stripes are plus 160. World is plus 170. USA stars are plus 200. I'll just quickly rattle off the rosters. So the USA stars are plus 200. That's Scotty Barnes, Devin Booker, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duran, Anthony Edwards, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Johnson, Tyrese Maxey. It's actually a pretty
like
good
that team. I like that. Team. I like
that's
a lot of.
That's a pretty good team for an all-star format.
I agree.
They're young. They'll care. These guys. That's a good lineup.
It's like that U23 World Cup hockey team back in 2017.
Yeah,
those are the guys you want. Team. The younger, hungrier guys, rather than the
The USA stripes. Oh, I see now. Stripes like the older guys.
Yeah, stars and stripes.
The USA stripes. Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Donovan Mitchell, Norm Powell.
Kind of like the stars.
These guys won't care as much.
Yeah.
No.
They'll care if they're winning, but they won't. Like, KD ain't busting it. Like, not at this stage of their career. Kawhi Leonard barely cares about a regular season.
Exactly.
He's gonna care about this.
Like, even in his home arena, right?
But I'm not feeling the vet team. I like the younger team better. And then you get into team world. I'm just getting sick of having to replace everybody here. Denny Avia, who's a stud. Luka Doncic. Sengun replaces SGA, so that's pretty good. He's good. Nikolai Jokic, Jamal Murray, Pascal Siakam, Karl Anthony Towns, Victor Wembanyama.
I don't know.
They've got the size.
The world team
isn't the first game team world against team stars? Is that what it is?
I think if team world try cam, they would win.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I think USA stars as a younger, hungrier people. I'm just putting a line through the stripes. If they win, they win. But yeah, world with that. You talk about long. The world's they got a lot of long guys on that team. I'm with you.
Like if Jokic and Doncic try. Along with Wembanyama and Siakam and Sengun and Jamal Murray, etc.
They'll smash them.
Like if they actually say, you know what, we're going to try, get the rebounds, and let's run the court on them, they'll roll. Like they'll roll the old American guys. The young guys would hang, but I think I'm betting on Team World. Team World is my pick. It was my pick all along. You know what? Giannis cares about stuff like this, so I'm a little bit sucks that Giannis isn't in it. That pisses me off. And now SGA, same thing. SGA is good in an all-star game. He's just automatic buckets, but it is what it is. What's your pick, Mo? Who wins the all-star format?
Team World. It's also early tip-off, 5 p.m., I believe, East Coast time.
Yeah. That
affects your handicap.
Now, give Team World. I think they have, like you said, all those guys that they've listed, I think want to prove a point that, hey, we are still one of the elite group of players coming into the NBA.
Plus 160 and plus 170. You could just take the U.S. stars and Team World and hope for the best, Cam, and hope that they both get there.
Just make sure the other team doesn't win.
It's a round robin. You just hope that USA stripes. Like,
that's funny.
It'll be fun. We'll see. I don't know. Like I said, man, it's kind of sad that we have to wonder, I don't know if they're going to, like, you know what I mean?
That's the one thing you can bust the NHL's balls, but they show up for this stuff. Like, look at it. We have Shedeur Sanders and All-Star Game stuff. Now, this is the way of the world.
Oh, the Pro Bowl was actually pretty fun. I bet over and I won.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun when you win. I'm just saying, though, this is the way, like, people get people get hurt before these things. They don't really want to do it. You know what I mean? It's just things have changed a lot. The personal pride, like the back NHL, in the day, guys love to play in these games, in these formats.
Oh, the NHL All-Star game used to be good. The NHL All-Star game sucks now.
No, I mean, like for like the skills comp, like just showing up at an event and like.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like Spud Webb, Michael Jordan. Like remember back in the day, like the
modern
there.
Player doesn't care, Cam. They have no,
exactly. No.
That's what no. I said. Yeah.
That's why they don't go into the competition.
When LeBron James did not ever partake in the dunk competition, you knew that it was never going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's just weak. Like you said, he set the tone. But like even all the young guys, they don't want to do it.
I like Con Knipple in the 3-point contest.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, we'll hit the props all week. That's what we got. Yeah. We got Olympic stuff as well. Men's hockey set to start on Thursday afternoon or like Wednesday night overnight, Thursday afternoon type stuff. Team Canada's Thursday morning. At 10 o'clock in the morning. All right, Mo, we'll get you out of here a little longer today. We appreciate your time. Yeah. Prediction, who wins the men's gold medal in hockey?
I'm thinking, man, I don't trust Canada's goaltending, but I think they have enough quality to overcome that to win the gold medal.
Yeah, it looks like Binnington's going to be the starter.
How about Canada versus Sweden? Canada to win. How's that sound?
Sweden's my pick at 6-1. I think Canada will win. Sweden, I got at 6-1, plus 550. I've been saying it all along. The Swedes to me are the sort of mini dark horse here.
But that's a quality pick to have, though, to take Sweden, I find.
I don't think the Finns have enough offense. The Czechs are good. I don't know if they have enough offense. The Americans are really good, but the Americans have a cupcake schedule. They're going to play three easy games, and then it could get harder for them, right? It just sort of suddenly, all right, now we're playing. Now on the other side of that, hey, they're going to have time to sort of get into this, but – interesting, I saw Dreger and LeBrun say yesterday that they saw the first practices of Team Canada and the USA, and it was 90 minutes each that you had allotted ice time, and the USA didn't do anything besides, like, just horseplay around. They just fired pucks around, skated around, and joked around and stuff, and they said Canada was a deadly serious, like, training camp. Like, attention to detail, meetings, like, players were meeting in corners, group meetings, like, man, Cooper, man, the guy's like, we'll be ready for this.
I love that.
Canada's going
to win. No, Gabe, but I think that's important because you have to gel quickly, and we're not screwing around with losers at the start. Like, you know what I mean? They can afford to be a little bit looser in their group. Like,
I know we've seen, though, guys.
The Czech Republic's dangerous as hell. Like,
they're tough. It's going to be a tough first game. Yeah, it'd be a tough first game. I'm tempted to take Czech Republic plus the 2.5 versus Canada first game.
But even the Swiss game, they should win that game, but Swiss will be plucky. The history of Switzerland and Canada at the Olympics has always been tough. They've never played an easy game against the Swiss at that level.
Yeah, because these teams just kill the clock against us, right? Yes. Like, it's sort of like they milk the clock. They just, you know, stand behind your net, dump the puck. Like, just, you know what I mean?
Even in the women's side, you see Switzerland against Canada, they're shooting them. They just want to play a 0-0 game and then finally catch a break or something. Like, it's a great strategy. It's
part
smart.
Of the best style in hockey.
Yeah.
I saw, though, I was going to say, so it looks like Binnington number one, like, obviously still, which, all right, we're all going to have to hold our breaths. But it wasn't Logan Thompson number two. I saw yesterday, at least on their depth chart. It was Darcy Kemper. So if Binnington stumbles, it looks like it would be Darcy Kemper that would step
Kemper's
in.
Played pretty good. He's been solid for the Kings.
We'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks for extending the show.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the time. Congratulations on the Seahawks, Cam, and to all the Seahawk fans out there. We are now just 24 days away from the start of the World Baseball Classic, people. Wow. So we have the Olympics right into the World Baseball Classic, right into the Major League Baseball regular season. Right into the World Cup of Soccer. So it's a great time of the – it's a great year this year in sports. We don't have to go through the Super Bowl withdrawal letdown and all that. And UFL, CFL, and everything else in between. So much to talk about from last week I didn't even get to, but we can't be here all day. Thanks to Mo and thanks to Cam. Thanks for tuning in. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.